everyone, and welcome to Another Bite, where we rewatch the most innovative and intriguing pitches from Shark Tank. I'm Jory, and I'm joined by Ariel.
How's it going?
And John.
Hey, how are you?
Why are dogs like phones? Because they both have caller IDs, of course. Speaking of pets and tech, today we've got a product aiming to revolutionize pet healthcare. Will the sharks want to be friends forever? Or are these founders barking up the wrong tree? We'll find out after this ad. Today in the tank, we have Mella Pet Care. And Mella is brought to us by Ben, Daniela, and Anya, who are asking for $250,000 for 5% in their business, which is a whopping $5 million valuation. Now, Mella. Mella is trying to solve the fact that going to a vet can be really traumatizing, both for the owner and the pet, and maybe even the vet themselves. So their solution is that rather than having a thermometer that can be really invasive, they're offering a product line that's making it easier for you to test your pet's health at home, which is Mella, which is both an app and a line of products that record your pet's health. So think thermometers, weight machines, and all of these are powered by machine learning to help you accurately understand not just like what your pet's temperature really is, but if that is good or bad, because apparently the temperature that a pet should be also has a little bit more nuance than humans, where it depends on breed, size, pounds, etc. So they're hoping to kind of contextualize the information that you might otherwise see from your normal digital thermometer. So thinking about our product, our founders, and our pitch, initial thoughts.
Can I ask, you both own dogs?
I do.
Yes.
Well, I don't own a dog or a pet of any kind.
Oh,
okay. No pets.
I saw this pitch and I thought, my God, this is brilliant. But can I ask you two, would you invest?
No, I would not. I'm just going to say it.
Yikes.
Ariel's trying to find a way to be nice about it, but no, I wouldn't. No.
I think millennials would love this.
Okay, so that's a yes.
I mean, I could see myself being bored and being like, what's your temperature right now? Just for like my own peace of mind or anytime my dog makes a noise. But it's not enough for me to justify paying the price point. Maybe the thermometer, but not everything.
Okay, so you're a maybe. Because I was going to say, if you both were hard-nosed on it, yeah, we should just end the conversation and be like, for those reasons, we're out. Because
target audience,
two out of three own a dog. And if neither of you are like, I'm not interested in this product at all, that would be really bad.
So here's why I don't like this. Because as a dog owner, I appreciate that this is going to make it less traumatic for Bleenie to get her temperature taken. Yeah. I understand that it's going to give me an app that's going to be like, this is good or bad for Aussie Doodles. And maybe if I get the extensions, I can get a sense of her weight. But the problem with data and giving so much data to a consumer for me is that in order to contextualize what I would be seeing on this app, I feel like there's like a lot of missing context that I wouldn't be able to interpret the results, right? So it's like, cool if my dog has a fever, but I don't know if that's a normal, it's a hot day, or it's actually something that I need to take her to the vet for anyway. I feel like, honestly, if I was worried enough to start taking my dog's temperature, I would just opt for the vet rather than trying to kind of play doctor at home. So I like understand the use case of B2C a little bit, because maybe you do have folks that want to take their own dog temperatures and you're empowering them to monitor their dog's health. I think I'm under the assumption that Bleenie's fine until she's not, in which case my first thought is just to go to the vet to be precautionary. I think that it's giving data that I wouldn't even know what to do with. So for those reasons, I'm out.
They kind of pitch this product as something for vets and not really hone in much on like the direct-to-consumer side. I'm actually really bullish about the data that they're gathering, though, and here's why. I think this could be really helpful for something like predictive analytics. Mm. Let's say we have 300, you know, golden doodle dog data. Mm-hmm. We typically see, you know, if their temperature increases or if these certain factors are present in our group of 300 dogs that we're looking at, what is the likelihood that they may be developing an illness or like something to kind of leverage what those predictive factors are?
Sure.
You hit on like, if they focus on direct to consumer, then it's almost like playing doctor, right? Which isn't like the necessary goal. If they focus within like the industry and reaching out to vets aren't going to change their best practices and products in mind. But what I do think it could help is within the triage portion, because like a lot of vets, they go through a list when they're diagnosing things. And I think having all that data up front to like pre-send to your vet before the emergency visit or before you have to take your pet in could be really helpful. Or considering alternative markets, rescue shelters, when they get dogs that come into intake, to be able to get all of their stats and vitals when they get adopted. Or maybe it's potentially for vet schools and universities for like students to like practice and gather some of that data. So I think their audience model could be a little bit more improved.
With the data.
But I do think there's something there with them having this data as a company to like leverage.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about data as a business model is you have to have a way to get the data. Mm-hmm. Like your primary go-to-market has to not be collect data. Your primary go-to-market has to be either going to consumers or to vets. And we should talk about those options. And if you happen to be able to like get a much higher LTV per customer because you have a data business on top of that, then that's incredible. But there are lots of just pure data businesses. They're data scrapers. They go out and they like collect a bunch of data and they aggregate it and stuff like that. And so I think the risk in making this only a data play for them is that the product won't be good enough to get tons and tons and tons of dog owners to adopt it. The first priority for them is making this incredibly valuable to their primary audience. And I think that's a question for them. Mm-hmm. Feels like they have three possible go-to-markets. Option one, D2C. That's you sell to people and you probably sell to people right. online. Sure, maybe you put it in PetSmart too or stuff like that and you go retail, but you're going right to consumers. You're a D2C business. The second option is you can go D2V2C, which is direct to vets to consumers.
I like that. We love acronyms.
I was like, I don't know that acronym.
I love acronyms.
And John's one making it up.
A JRDA, a John Robert Dick original acronym.
I love that you had that ready to go.
But so D2V2C, you're direct to vet to consumer, where you say, hey, I want to sell to consumers, but the main way I'm going to actually do that is by being in every veterinary clinic in the country. And I'm going to be on the shelf there. And I want the vet to be incentivized to promote it to everybody who comes into the clinic. So that's the second go-to-market. And a third go-to-market is actually like D2V, which is just direct to vet, where you're saying, hey, I actually want to sell to vets for practice management software. And yeah, I'll get a bunch of consumers to adopt it. But really, it's about getting vets to use it for every single dog and cat that comes into their clinic and use it to basically be an electronic health record for dogs and cats. And I think that's the interesting debate to have is which one they should be. And if you go to their website now, they're kind of all three. Yeah. And I think that's a problem for them. I think they should choose one. And I think they should go really hard at it and try and win on it.
It's the storytelling and sort of value add around the direct to consumer that I just feel like needs a little workshopping if that's the direction they're going to go. Because it's like, you need to make it so obvious that paying, $159 is a no-brainer, right? Like diabetes is on the rise in dogs, right? So if you have a dog with a chronic illness, of course you would want to be monitoring their health stats on an ongoing basis because there's a genuine threat to health. But I don't know if going after all dog owners, which might just have healthy pups, is quite the same.
Yeah.
In case of emergencies, in which case my first thought is like, we need to get to the vet as soon as possible, not let me get all of these biometrics down myself, may even make a mistake.
Yeah, mess it
That's
up.
Almost a liability at that point.
Yeah.
You're asking vets to transform their practice. Most of the time, giving a pet owner at-home health technology will result in fewer visits to the vet. That is directly in competition with the way that vets are paid. Yeah. They are paid per visit. And so I think in order to get this direct-to-vet model going where they use it as practice management, the vet would have to change their whole business model and their servicing model. And they'd have to say, hey, that's I'm not fair. Just paid for services. You're going to pay me to take care of your animal all year. And I'm going to guarantee that I'm going to keep an eye on alerts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to reach out to you with suggestions. I have no knowledge of whether vets are interested in that transformation or not, but it sounds hard.
A lot of behavior change.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I really like just going D2C. The D2V2C, I think, also has complications. I think the complications that come up in that scenario is that I don't think vets have a ton of cash flow, and there's not enough proven demand for this such that they would just buy a bunch of this product on wholesale and put it on their shelves.
They need an incentive.
Which means the company would have to send them product for free and
hope they sell it.
Ask them to sell it and give them a commission for every sale that they make. Mm-hmm. And I think that's complicated too, because that is very costly for a company. You basically, that just becomes inventory. And so that's complicated. So the only path to me that feels like fast scale is to just go to millennials and sell directly to them on their website by saying, this is the thing you need to be doing for your dog if you love it. Do you not love your dog?
Clearly not.
And I think that's just the marketing strategy.
It's like, mama, sing my song, how much you love your pet.
Exactly. It's that same manipulation. It is.
You're going to run into the challenge of this is not meant to replace your vet.
Yeah.
The bigger consumer is just not going to use this more than once. I think they'll use it for fun.
The scale was more interesting than the thermometer to me.
Yeah.
They had a scale, weigh your pet.
I just carry my pet and then I'd step on and off with him to gauge his weights. That's what I do.
I gauge Blaney's weight based on how rotund she's looking. It's an inexact science, but it works for me.
You two both totally made the case for the scale, by the way. Yeah. Ariel steps on the scale with her dog.
Which is really smart.
And Jory just...
Yep.
Okay. All right.
That's the thing, John, is there's other things that I think are like sneaky competitors in the market, because how I monitor Blaney's weight is that I have a fresh food service that uses machine learning to determine how big the sachets of food that she gets should be based on her need for caloric intake. And then that's perfectly portioned for me. So technically, if I trust my pet food service, it should all be handled. Blaney is a healthy weight. So I don't know. I think that there's more competition that's like kind of underlying in the pet industry than just not having other dog specific scales at mass market. So they mentioned that they're getting a lot of vets for trade show and word of mouth. But it seems like from this conversation that we're saying we recommend that you go and drill into direct to consumer.
Yeah.
If you had to create that type of scale, what channels are you choosing? What messaging are you choosing to really start to reach consumers based on their numbers? They made 160K at soft launch. They're projected to make 500,000 this year. They're not pushing as much product as the sharks felt like they should have been, given the fact that they seem to have a very unique product on the market. So how are you as marketers driving scale for this company if you were hired today?
Pet influencers. Ooh, tell me how much your pet weighs by looking at it and then have a demonstrated video of actually proving that out.
Yeah. The Pepsi challenge.
Pepsi challenge.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, I think this is a doggy influencer, vet influencer play here.
Mm. Well, the thing about pets and influencers, people follow pets on the internet. Yes, right. People love pets because it's a timeline cleanser amongst a horrible, awful world we're living in. And so I think influencer marketing with pet owners and with popular pet accounts could really work. So I think that's a great idea. I would also just add a couple of other thoughts here. I think they could probably sell a very large amount of product if they just got their basic digital ad to high conversion flow working really well. Their website now actually kind of serves all three of those go-to-markets I mentioned. It's pretty unfocused, mostly about their Shark Tank appearance, which I get. You know, it's awesome, but it's not optimized to drive a ton of conversion right now. And so I actually think they could probably get the unit economics working just with like digital advertising, which I think could be huge. You do an influencer strategy on top of that. I think that could be huge. The other idea that I had is that you could make the app a freemium app where you say, actually, this is not about our products initially. It's actually about just tracking the health of your dog. Like you could just start with a very simple...
It's a Fitbit for your dog.
You could make it a bit of a game, which is like your dog's daily check-in. How did your dog eat today? Like, did your dog drink a lot of water? And then like, oh, we'll show you trends over time. Like if your dog is looking good or bad. And then it's like, oh, looks like your dog is not trending the right way. You know, do you want to buy a thermometer?
I love your scare tactics today, John.
It's good. Here's how your responses compare to all the dog owners in your area.
Your pooch isn't looking great. Kind
of trending down into the right.
Big yikes.
Wait, I actually like gamifying it though. You can compare your pet's health to your friends, kind of like a Duolingo like leader.
Oh yeah. Like my doodle's better than your doodle. Like
John's onto something there.
Yeah, John's either onto something or on something. One of the two.
John's on to something, and Mark agrees with you, John, because despite some of the sharks kind of having a lukewarm reception to this product, especially because they have so much data that they're gathering and consolidating, Mark saw sort of a vision for the future. There was a bit of negotiation, but ultimately our Mela Pet Care founders closed a deal with Mark for $250,000 for 6% in their business, which is honestly not that different from what they were asking. I mean, I guess if you like put it on the million scale, it is, but they were asking for 5% and he gave them a deal for 6%. So that feels like a pretty big Shark Tank win as well. Production for today's episode was brought to you by Ari DeSarmo. Editing comes from Robert Hartwig and support from Alfred Schultz. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you subscribe to the greatest podcasts ever. That does it for me. See you next week in the tank for another bite. I want to take a break to tell you about a podcast coming to the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. It's called The Next Wave: AI and the Future of Technology. It's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is currently fragmented. The Next Wave is leading the pack on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. Matt and Nathan are leading AI creators and your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. Listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.